Welcome to Commission Impossible. I am Scott Fish, and with me, as always, is Ryan McDowell. We have become known for our commissioning over the years and got together to start a podcast, help other commissioners out. We took, what, 567 days off, Ryan? Does that sound right?
Just a long weekend, really.
Just a slightly long weekend. We've had a lot of things have happened since the last time we had a show in mid-2022. But if you are new to the show, all episodes are evergreen, which means you can do what many people do and just binge them. What we do here is go over settings, league running, listener questions, bad commissioner stories, interesting league ideas people have sent us, some of our own ideas that have now become very popular out there, and we try to answer just about every question we get. You can email us at commishpod@gmail.com. Now, on to the show. Oh my gosh, Ryan, just doing that again felt good. Just felt good to do that again.
You were coming in hot. I love it. We're ready.
Maybe a little too hot. Maybe there was too much inflection on my voice. And I clearly forgot turn off my Slack and stuff. So maybe people can hear those noises in the background. That's not used to recording the show. So with the relaunch of Commission Impossible, I'm not sure if we're going to go straight listener questions the whole show every time like we used to do before. But we'll get a bunch of those in there. We're going to start bringing on guest commissioners. Like some of our friends out there that do some awesome leagues, like, Kevin Murray, the former ESPN Commissioner of the Year, and probably bring Nathan Powell back, probably just a lot of them. But John Bosch, I'm sure we'll have him back. By the way, just going to mention off the top, Heath Cummings does this Dynasty podcast for CBS Fantasy. And John Bosch was on that recently. They went over starting up a new dynasty league and things to do, things to look for, it was a very good dynasty starter course type of podcast. You should go search for that, because it was a good one. It's a good one to listen to. We should get into some of the more recent topics that plague the dynasty industry. Ryan, what do you think? Should we start there?
Yeah, so you're right. There's been a lot going on. Some of these topics are evergreen as well, just as our shows are. But it's always a good reminder and always good conversations to have. So yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, I think the one that we want to touch on probably first, because this happens every dang year in the Dynasty community. there's too much animosity with it, honestly. And it's the idea of trade deadlines versus no trade during the playoffs versus no trade deadlines. It's the kind of thing that's a complete preference call and play what you enjoy. Stop being condescending to people about what they enjoy about it. But I feel like, and I'm not sure if you agree with me, Ryan, for a well-run dynasty league, I feel like it's probably the best situation, because bad teams can trade assets that they don't need for the long term and get value out of it. And teams contending can, try to attack for that title. I understand the shutoff at playoffs. I understand all of it, but I do think that no trade deadlines in general are good for dynasty leagues, not having a trade deadline. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I've kind of come around. That's one that I have pretty much always had trade deadlines in my leagues, and it got to a point a year or two ago where through some of these conversations, I just kind of asked myself, why do I have them? Why do I feel like they're necessary? And for the most part, didn't really have a good answer to that. So I have started shifting to removing those trade deadlines. And I think you made a good point there that it's got to be the right league dynamic, right? I mean, if you're the commish, you've got to trust your managers in that league to stick around, not to blow up their team and bail. I mean, that's always the fear, of course. Yep. And if you're one of the managers in the league, you have to trust your commish to handle any kind of dicey situation the right way. There's got to be some trust on both ends. And if you're part of a longstanding league, or you're a commission on standing league, you probably know if this rule, this no trade deadline would work with your group of managers.
Yep. I think a well-run dynasty leagues where you vetted the owners, especially dynasty leagues where people have paid a year ahead. So, you know, that they're not just destroying a team and leaving. Those are the ones where it's a good setting for it. It's just better for all the teams involved. It's better for parity. I will say, like, I've played in all the different systems. I'm fine with whatever, but my personal preference is the no trade deadline. I will say, it's funny because when this came up at the end of the season, I pulled up a bunch of tweets of mine from 2015 and 2016, where I was one of those guys that was a little jerky about it. I would say things like, "Why don't you grow a pair and take and have no play no trade deadlines like a real dynasty and stuff." I had tweets like that 8 years ago, but I feel like I've grown up in 8 years, and I'm
you've now matured a little.
Yeah, I matured a little bit. I'm like, yeah, people just play what you enjoy. My home league doesn't have my home league has a playoff cutoff because it's a keeper league, and I want to just mark here that keeper leagues are way different than dynasty leagues when it comes to that, because there's always parity in a keeper league. When you're only keeping three or four players, you don't have to worry about the bad team. The worst team in the league could have three really good keepers, you know, and still be the worst team in the league. And also when you're in those playoffs, a really bad team with a team that's knocked out, that they know their three keepers, they can trade any player for a ninth round pick. They don't care. They're going to cut them anyway. So they're not actually trading for value. You can completely mess things up in a keeper league with no trade deadlines. Unless you have some kind of veto system or something.
Right. Yeah. You're totally right. Keeper leagues, completely different. I will say I guess the rule of the setting that I've gone to is what I've called a soft deadline. Meaning I kind of kept that date, whatever date it was, week, 13, 12, 13, 14, whatever. It's Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. I know a lot of people use Thanksgiving Day as their trade deadline if they have one. So I kind of kept that date in place. I now allow trades beyond that date. You just have to commit to the next league season by then. Yep. So that's what picks of course we are. Yeah, we already had rules in place that if you're trading your future first, you're paying for that season, things like that. But now if you're making any trade beyond that soft trade deadline, you're paying for next season and hopefully committing not only financially, but fully committing to keeping that team and staying in the league.
Absolutely makes sense. Yeah, that's how Pigs did it in its final years was playoff cutoff, but you have to pay for next year, and then you could trade in the playoffs. So it kind of had that similar soft deadline.
Right.
I think that's enough on that. We both think it's a good thing to have no trade deadlines. It's good for the league in a bunch of different ways. But just got to make sure it's a good league. Next thing we can touch on is there's a lot of hubbub about people leaving leagues at the end of the season, there are a lot of different angles. I think there's a lot of, I think most of the stuff out there that people get annoyed with is I'm leaving this league and I'm joining a new startup tomorrow. You know what I mean? Those people, if you're cutting back, prove that you're truly cutting back. If you're cutting, try to leave your leagues in a good spot. I think orphans are a good thing. Breathes life into the league. When a bad owner leaves a league, I always love when a guy leaves a league. He's all grumpy or whatever. And he's like, I don't like the league and stuff. And he leaves on bad terms. I'm like, this is good that you're leaving. We'll get a good person. You know what I mean? Like, don't be upset at that. But, dynasty isn't a lifetime commitment, but it should be somewhat of a commitment. But I get it. Orphans suck. We've talked about that new trend in the dynasty industry where I'll mention it briefly, where people will join a new dynasty league, and play it like it's a redraft league. They do the startup, mm-hmm. they play it like it's a redraft league, and they try to win in year one, because why fight 11 other owners in a redraft league when you can fight seven other owners in a dynasty league? And they will even pay for next year. They will even pay for next year in advance just to use those draft picks and trade them to try to win in year one, because it's good, it's a good rate. So I think all of this comes to vetting. How do you vet owners for new startups and new orphans? John from Mount Rushmore, who's actually John Bosch, wanted to know that. How do you vet managers for your personal leagues? What key factors are there to a manager that you know are an instant yes to get them in? Like what factor, when you see an owner and you're like, that's a yes. What makes him a yes? What are some instant qualifiers that may disqualify them? We'll answer that. And I thought I just touched on a whole bunch of stuff, Ryan, but do you want to touch on any of that? Where, how do you feel about people leaving leagues? How do you care that if they give you an excuse, if they do, does it matter? If they don't, does it matter? Any of that you want to touch on?
Sure. There is a lot there.
I threw a lot. I jumped around.
That's all right. It's a big topic for dynasty commissioners, for fantasy commissioners in general, especially this time of year, of course, as one season wraps up and another season essentially begins automatically. I feel like I've changed on this one too. And maybe this is me maturing a little bit, because I remember when people would leave my leagues, I would really take it personally. And even if I didn't consider them, you know, the best or most active managers, or, you know, whatever the situation may be, even if they had a very good reason for stepping away, I would still kind of take offense to that. And honestly, Scott, you kind of changed my outlook on that, because I know, at least as long as we've been interacting, you've kind of had that philosophy of no hard feelings. It's fine. I've come around to that, fortunately, because that, you know, living with that or having that animosity, that frustration over, you know, leaving a fantasy football league was not a good place to be. So I'm glad I've matured a little bit, but that's where I am now.
So there's a secondary thing that sucks, you know, like it's the taking offense, because hey, I don't want to play in your league anymore, but also it adds work to your plate. So I get all of that. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. And that is still true. It does seem like in most cases, the people leaving the leagues are the ones that you don't really mind to see leaving the league, right? You don't mind to see them go. Yeah. Like I said, maybe they caused drama in the league. Maybe they were the manager who's always questioning every single thing, every single decision. Maybe they're just not very active. Right. And, you know, I've had several people, even just in the past couple of weeks, leave my leagues. I really like the people, but for whatever reason, they just weren't active in the league. And I know that will, you know, ultimately that will be a good thing for that league, that specific right. league. So really, really no issue at this point with managers stepping away from leagues if that's what they feel they need to do. And really, I mean, I'm not keeping track after they leave, right? Like if you leave my league, I'm not going to stalk you and see if you are joining another league. And if you are, it's not like I'm going to say anything, you know, right.
Oh man, trust me.
If you don't want to be in the league, if you don't want to be in there, I don't want you there. As far as vetting managers, that's a tough one, right? I mean, I've seen people have applications to fill out to try to join a league. I've seen mm-hmm. people ask for references from other commissioners or other managers they've played with. Typically, I mean, obviously when I'm filling spots, I'm trying to fill kind of from in-house, meaning people I know, people that play in other leagues. So if I've got openings in League A, I'm going to reach out to League B, League C and say, hey, I've got this opening. If anybody wants to join. And I mean, we've talked about it on here before that we are, you know, we're a little lucky in some forms.
We can recruit quickly. Yeah.
Right. And we also, you know, we've got this group chat on group DM chat on Twitter, and all the time people are saying, hey, does anybody know this person? They're, you know, I'm considering adding them, or they want to join my league, but I don't really know them. And other people, other commissioners that are in that chat can, you know, can vouch, or sometimes go the opposite way if needed. Now I know that's not, you know, those are not necessarily resources that everybody has. I guess the first spot I would typically go is Twitter. You know, let me see what they're like on social media. Are they active on there? That's a good sign. Are they talking about their other leagues, trades they're making, things like that? And then obviously just, do they seem like a pretty good person that I would want to add to my league?
Yep. Yep.
So, and there, if you see them, I threw a lot back at you.
You did. And if you see them interacting with other people in your leagues or other people you know are decent, that helps. I think social media is actually a fairly good litmus test, because sometimes people will throw out like the anonymity of it. Sometimes they'll be, you know, like if there's nothing bad on there, then they're probably pretty decent, pretty decent. Right. Anything from social media to forums to just asking around your leagues for a recommendation for someone. Hey, do you guys got a friend that might want to play in this league? If they come recommended from a guy you know is a decent owner, there's probably a decent chance they're a decent owner. Stuff like, you touched on a bunch of them. I want to go back to a point you made that I also don't do. Is like, you don't go and look and you're like, oh, is this guy doing this thing, and calling him out. Sometimes you just notice they do. What is our responsibility? And this is more just like, this is me. I want to know what my responsibility, you know, I have a list. I have a list. Yeah. I have kept for 15 plus years. I have a list of people I don't want in leagues. I have a list of people I've seen do certain things with leagues that, do I have any kind of responsibility to the fantasy community or to dynasty owners out there, or do commissioners like us, you, John, Nathan, anyone in the commish chat, have a responsibility to be like, okay, fantasy community, this is not a guy you want in the league? Or like, I have always just let it slide. I'm like, I'm not going to be part of that. I'm not going to, you know, put that negativity on Twitter, but is there a small responsibility there? Do you think there is at all? Or is that just to, in private, let people know if asked?
I don't think there's necessarily a responsibility unless talking about something significant, serious and significant. You know, if it's somebody making bad trades and bailing on the league, I mean, that stinks. You don't want to see that. You don't want to deal with that as a commissioner. But it's also very common, right? We all deal with that. Right. If it's somebody just being a real jerk in the league and starting trouble and whatever, again, you don't want to see it, but it's very common. We would have a full-time job if we're calling out every single one of those people, right?
And for minor stuff like that, absolutely.
Right. So as far as calling out, kind of making some of this public, I think it's got to be really extreme example. Honestly, I can't really even think of any that would cause that. I think of more from the commish standpoint, and we've talked about those on here as well, those bad commish stories, especially when we're talking about people stealing league funds or not paying out winners, things like that. That's what I think probably needs to be called out. Gotcha. And, you know, I can think of one right now that I don't know if we've called out on this show before, but it became pretty well known. And
I've definitely never gone even to calling out those types of people. It does feel like if I see someone like that trying to fill leagues, and someone I know responds, maybe a quick DM, maybe avoid. Yep. I just don't know how public it's, how much it's worth it publicly. And I also am a true believer in people change, you know? So, I do struggle with that. I do struggle with that. And I'm going to give you an example why. I'm going to touch on collusion for a second. It's exponentially more common than the disbelievers think. People are like, oh, collusion never happens. You should never veto trades. I agree with the no veto thing. You just kick colluders out. But collusion is exponentially more common than disbelievers think, especially now in click to join type dynasty leagues, like where you're like, oh, here's the sleeper link and just join. And you don't know everybody, and you can, especially on there, but definitely lots of places you can create multiple accounts and do it. It's way out there. I've caught so much of it in my time. It's also far less common than the people who are like, you should have trade vetoes because of collusion. It's far less common than those people think it is, but it's out there. It's out there. And the ones I've caught, I'm like, do I tell people that I've caught these people? Especially with my public leagues where I've caught people, where we've caught people. Do I tell other public operators like Underdog, FFPC, NFFC, et cetera? Do I have a responsibility to go to those other companies and be like, we caught these guys, we got them booted. If they try to join yours, I'm just letting you know. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just letting you know. Like, do I have a responsibility there? I honestly am so the guy that never does anything that I'm not even sure that on the legal side, if I'm allowed to, I would have to ask if I'm allowed, like if that's the kind of thing where there's, if I'm allowed to, but if you catch colluders, is that severe enough that you feel like that could be outed?
Again, if it's a clear and obvious case, then yeah, maybe. I think that's fair, especially as you say, kind of in in your circle of folks who run, you know, in many cases big time money leagues that are filled with strangers. I do just, you know, I just love the idea of a blacklist being passed around between safe leagues and NFFC and just all the time leagues. I love that idea.
Oh, because you know these guys just jump to another site when this happened.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I might ask that at FSGA in February. I might ask some of the other operators, be like, is this a thing that we're supposed to share? Because I'm sure we don't. Maybe other companies don't care as much. I don't know. We got a letter in our DMs about a week or two ago, Ryan.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Yes. Oh, yes, for sure.
Maybe we'll end this here because end on this one because this is fun and we're at 24 minutes or so. We're in the 20-minute mark. So one of our fellow friends in the industry, Commissioner, I'm not going to name any names. I'm not even going to name the league. But I will, he got a letter in the mail. A commissioner we know on Twitter got this a letter in the mail. Yes. A formal demand for immediate reimbursement of the $424 in dues paid for the first three leagues of a dynasty league that he played in for this commish. He claimed, I entered the league in 2020 and committed to a 10-year membership of this league, which the 10-year thing was nowhere in the bylaws, supposedly, just a completely randomly made up number, allegedly. But this guy played for 4 years of what he called a 10-year dynasty commitment. And he sent a certified letter asking for the 4 years of dues paid back because the league folded after 4 years. And he said, if I do not receive the reimbursement, he may file in small claims court or other legal avenues. Now, first off, this guy can absolutely file that in small claims court. I cannot imagine it winning in small claims court or any legal avenue.
You can file pretty much whatever you want in small
claims court. He can actually do it. I don't know that he would win anywhere, and the cost of filing or any kind of legal thing might, like, it seems like it would cost money, and $424 is not a lot to go after, especially considering he played for 4 years. But what did you think when you saw that letter that a commissioner got a certified letter asking for 4 years of dues back because the league folded?
Yeah, I mean, it just wild. Like I already said, I couldn't believe it was real. It's just crazy. And again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier about vetting your managers. And when one or two managers leave a league, it's on a commissioner. We've talked on here about shutting down leagues that we've run, right? Yep. I've talked about my experience of closing the Hyperactive League. That was a very tough decision for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. Same thing with you with the Capitalist Pigs Leagues. I know you were kind of back and forth on that and trying to, yep. We were both really trying to find the perfect way to conclude those leagues. And the reality is, I don't think there is a perfect way to end a league unless it's done a set amount of time from the beginning.
Yep, exactly.
So yeah, if you're a commissioner and you're shutting down, closing a league, there's going to be frustration from some of the managers. I think that's understandable. This is obviously taking it way, way, way too far. It's just silly, really.
Yeah, it's it's a little shocking to me that this would happen. I can't see anything coming from it, but don't worry, listeners. We will keep on this, and if we hear anything else that happens with this, we'll touch up on it later. it's just crazy to me that someone would even consider that. When you join a dynasty league, it's. I feel like the new trend is not assuming a 10-year commitment. I think it's assuming a 3-year maybe, right? With that new dynasty league nowadays. Like,
right. It's the other way around. Things, these lifespan of the league seems to be getting shorter and shorter.
It is. It's getting exponentially shorter, which, you know, comes to something I'm sure we'll talk about on a new show or on the next show or another show, where I think we really got to consider dynasty leagues with set ends and how to end dynasty leagues early. Yeah. Or, yeah. Some way to there's yearly votes to continue, where it's not as much of a shock to people that they dissolve, because they dissolve so much quicker than they used to. If you're in a dynasty league out there, you're listening to this, and you're in one that's been going like 5, 6, 7, you are probably in the minority, and that's pretty awesome. Yep. which is fun. Anything else you want to discuss before we call? We got a couple more emails, we got a couple more topics, but we can save it for another show.
Yeah, I think we save it for another show. I'm mostly just glad to be back. I miss doing this. It's fun to talk about these things. I feel like it makes me a better commissioner just to have some of these discussions, and I'm glad to be back here.
Yeah, we should have launched the new show with these are the things that if you're starting a new dynasty league now, these are the things you should be doing right now in January. This is what you do at the start of the off season, either in old leagues or starting a new league. But you know what? We're just having fun here. We wanted to touch on the stuff that happens at the end of the season, like orphans and trade deadlines. We'll get into that stuff probably on the next episode. Let's do that, Ryan. How's that sound? That sounds good.
That sounds good.
All right. Well, that's another episode of Commission Impossible. Make sure to give us a 5-star review on however you found us now that we're back. Maybe you still had the subscription going, but tell your friends, tell your league mates, tell your commissioners about our show. Follow me on Twitter at ScottFish24. It's X now. Do I say X? Am I supposed to say X?
I'm sticking with Twitter personally.
I'm going to stick with Twitter still. Follow me on Twitter at ScottFish24. Follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanMC23. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.